The best 60 minutes of your day, the John Anderson Homer Hour, joined now by Brian Windhorst of ESPN, otherwise known as Windy. Windy, I will have John introduce you because he should, but I am curious. Do you know the best high jump ever from John Anderson?
God. I don't know the worst one.
7 2½. Dude did 7 2½. And he never told you?
That's pretty impressive, I have to say. I would not have believed he could have done more than 6 7.
I know. I look at him every time I see him on TV and I go, there's no way. There's no way. But I checked. He did it. And now, 7 2½. I'm just embarrassed you never told all the people at ESPN. Pass it along now, Brian or Windy. I don't. Does everybody call you Windy or just people at ESPN?
Yeah, I can't stop them.
All right, okay. Well, John Anderson can do whatever he wants on this show. Take it away, 7 2½. Can't believe you never told.
It's been a while. How are you?
It's good to hear your voice. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. I keep bragging to people. I'm like, you know, forget him. He married his wife's a Missouri journalism grad. This, you guys are burying the lead here. With Mr. Basketball, right?
That is true.
Good Lord. So I guess when my boy Horst got re-signed to GM, he took it seriously and decided he was going to do some work. What was your analysis of the Dame get out and Turner in? Because I think it shocked most everybody that even was Bucks fans in this thing.
I was flabbergasted. I'll bet the Pacers were pretty darn surprised too. We've never seen this type of maneuver in the NBA. I've started to understand the strategy more over the last 4 or 5 hours. I still think it's audacious. It's brazen. They've already robbed from Peter to pay Paul in the draft, and now they're robbing from Paul to pay Peter to tell Sam. I mean, they're basically spending salary cap money in 2030. But I would tell you that, I was on the front line in Cleveland in 2010 when they lost LeBron James. And if the Cavs had thought of something like this that could have prevented them from losing LeBron James, they would have done it. So I certainly respect the aggression, and that goes from Wes Edens to Jimmy Haslam to John Horst, because the ownership doing this is, you don't do this without, ownership support. And so I would say that I'm a little bit concerned that it doesn't really move the needle, because while Miles Turner is an excellent player, he's not dramatically better than Brook Lopez. I mean, he's younger and you're going to get more out of him. And, he definitely outplayed Brook in the playoffs. There's no doubt about that. And he fits with Giannis because he's going to stretch the floor and he's going to defend the rim and he's going to allow Giannis to play more free. Like, it's definitely a very good fit. But they were fifth in the East last year, and this move, maybe if it works out great, they can be fourth, So that's the only thing I would say. Like, I want to praise them up and down for pulling it off. And it also damaged the team in front of them. Like, that was a double, a double advantage. They hurt one of their big rivals, but I don't think they were going to be in front of them during this season. So I really think it's pretty remarkable they pulled it off. I'm just worried that they're really taking out a heavy mortgage, and I'm not sure what the return's going to be.
So Homer and I have discussed two things. One, you talked about the blow to the Pacers, but the Pacers are already down one guy with Halliburton. Now they're down two. So I feel like that puts them ahead. And the Celtics, in what they're ever trying to retool with around the Tatum thing, also I think gives them a shot. The question I have here, though, is I feel like part of what allows them to do this, too, is the nature of the superstar on their team. And I think Giannis is a unique superstar in his selflessness and in the way he carries himself. And just he is just a different cat. Could you get away with this if you had somebody that was a more ego-driven superstar?
I think he wants to be in Milwaukee. I think I've seen star players look for reasons to leave. I think it's the exact opposite with Giannis. He's looking for reasons to stay. And, you know, the Bucks have given him reasons, you know, for the last 5-6 years now. And this is another reason for him to stay. And so I think it says a lot about him and his connection with the community that he wants to make this work. He doesn't want to feel like he's not giving himself a chance to win. And he also doesn't want to leave. And so I think the Bucks, by making this move, help him feel better about it. And look, I can't predict what's going to happen. I can't predict the health of the league. I can't predict the health of the East. The Bucks have been given time after time after time unfair injury situations. What has happened to them for the last 3 or 4 years is downright unfair. And it's unfair to Giannis, and he deserves better, and it has nothing to do with anything other than bad luck. And the injuries happening when they did, you know, Chris Middleton situations and even Giannis himself, it's just not fair. So I really respect that that they're trying to extend the window and exhaust everything. I respect the front office and ownership and Giannis and everybody. I just don't see a championship team here. You know, you guys know what a championship team looks like. The Bucks have had them before. Multiple times, even when they didn't win, there were years when they were championship teams. I don't see a championship team. I don't say that to be mean. I just call it like I see it. They're not. They haven't replaced Dame. They replaced Brooke. They haven't replaced Dame. So they're still behind. And yes, the injuries in the East have made the pathway a little bit easier. But look, if Giannis reports in the fall happy and engaged, it's a huge win. And that's where, whatever you can take from that, I think they've given themselves a great chance for that.
Brian, I have a question. Tomer here. The audacious and brazen, I think it is all because of next year. One, Giannis will be happy, but they have a 1 year chance. They're only going to have for 1 year. And your mention about the stretch, the highest ever was apparently $27 million. They did 113, which means this is stupid by normal NBA standards. Everybody would say that because no one's ever come close. But if you get that chance next year because two better teams aren't as good, then you go for it. Without those two injuries, I don't think they do this. What do you say?
Yeah, the problem is it's not two injuries, it's three, and the Bucks have one of them. You know, and so I would just say this, this is the strategy. This is the best way I can explain the strategy. In addition to extending Giannis's window with the Bucks, Dame Lillard had $50 million on the books that was useless. He was not going to play or really contribute this year. $50 million is useless. Now it's $20 million and they add another $30 million, you know, 27, whatever it is. And now you, in that same salary slot, that $50 million salary slot, you have a franchise center. And it'll still be that case in the next year and the next year. So that it's going to cost $50 million essentially for Miles Turner each year, because you're paying Dame's $23 million and the $27 million that you're going to owe him on average. It's going to fluctuate a little bit, but the average is going to be $50 million. So you're getting 50, 50, 50, 50. And this year you're going to get zero for that $50 million. And next year, who knows? I don't know what Dame's going to look like. Were you going to get $10 million in value, $20 million? I don't know. Now you're going to get Miles Turner in value in those next two slots when you weren't sure what you were going to get with Dame. And then with the salary cap going up, $23 million in 2027 and 28, 29 is not the same. It's a lesser percentage of the cap than it is this year when you've maximized it. So I'm describing some of the strategy in addition to just the vibes, and you want to do it for Giannis and you want to use everything out. There is some calculated strategy here. I can't tell you that it's strategy that's going to make sense, and I'm going to tell you I can already close my eyes and I can see this radio station having a party in 2030 when Dame comes off the books, just like it happened with other guys, where it drives them crazy, it drives their fans crazy, that he's going to still be on their books and that's going to feel that way. But in 2030, $23 million is going to be a much less piece of the cap. So it is, this is not what is, it is audacious. It is not insane. It is audacious and there's a risk, but it is not insane. There is some way that you can explain it. I don't think many owners would go for it. The owner of the Bucks or the owner of the Pacers wouldn't pay $27 million for Miles Turner, much less 50. So not everybody's going to do this, but I can see what they're doing. I'm just worried that it's not going to be the needle move that maybe is really needed.
Do they have any money? How much money do they have left? And who could you would suggest they get to do the best job at replacing Lillard?
They do have money left, and I don't know if they're going to spend it all because right now they're out of the luxury tax. And that's one thing that happened here. They got out of the tax, and there's even more money that they can recoup from that, or they can reduce the dead money down. Let's see who else becomes available. There might be other players who get buyouts in the coming days, not like a Dame buyout, but yes, they are in position to continue to add talent. This was a move that really opened up some parameters and some avenues I didn't think were going to be there. So, again, I give credit for the audacity. I'm not sure everybody's going to be in love with the result, but I've also been around long enough to know that I can't predict the result. And so they definitely have stayed relevant, and they've broken the hearts of a lot of people today. They've broken the hearts of the Pacers fans who lost their 10-year franchise center, and they've broken the hearts of some teams that were dreaming of trading for Giannis in the next month.
And so Damian Lillard is the luckiest player in the history of the NBA, right?
Would you like free money and freedom?
Yes. I would take that as a yes. Is there anything even close? Yes? Can you think of another player given what he was given today?
I would just say he should not dance because he's got the – you don't want to re-injure the foot. But if he wanted to dance, I could see that.
So we keep talking about the teams in front of them, right? The Bucks is all, but you should check the rearview mirror too. What do I think of people like the Pistons and the Magic and what they've done?
Well, yeah. So, you know, in my view in the East, Cleveland and New York are sort of the top tier. And then you have sort of this mid tier, which I put the Bucks in it, the Magic, the Hawks, the Pistons, the Bucks. Those are sort of the top six teams that I see. I think the Pacers are going to go back. I think the Celtics are going to go back. I think the Celtics are in danger of being a play-in team this year. So are the Bucks able to finish third out of that? Do they finish fifth? It may be close. But a couple of days ago, I might have said that they were at the back end of that group. So, and look, this year, the team that was in fourth won the East. The team that was in fourth hit its stride, found its pathway, and was one win from winning the championship. So when you see something like that, and you know you see that team that won the East, that they had depth and they had size, and this is a move that adds depth and size in addition to all the key pieces they've re-signed over the last couple of days. Like, again, it's not an insane. Some people I've seen calling this insane. It's not insane. It's audacious. I don't know what the percentage chance to work is, but they are in a better position today than they were yesterday, and Giannis certainly has to respect that.
7.5, can you ask Wendy the difference between insane and audacious? I didn't go to Kent State.
Well, audacious is one is bold and daring, and the other one is completely nuts.
Oh, all right.
Is that a fairly good summation, Brian?
Yeah, the problem is sometimes audacity turns to insanity. But right now, we're sticking with audacity.
We'll keep looking for an update. And lastly, where is LeBron James playing next season? You can pass if you want, or you can answer.
He's playing at the place that is paying him $53 million. And
that would be the Lakers. And I did forget this. If NIL had been allowed in high school when LeBron was in high school, I claim he would have made $50 million in high school.
I don't know about $50 million, but he would have been a millionaire because even in the 2000s, the team that he was playing for was selling out, 15,000-18,000 seat arenas over and over and was on television. Like, they were selling pay-per-view. His worth was a seven-figure worth. It was fragmented. Some of it was going to the high school association. Some of it was going to various promoters. Some of it was going to the school. It wasn't like there was one person that was holding it back from them. But even then, it was repugnant that they suspended him for taking a $500 jersey or whatever, like a $300 jersey and a $200 jersey. There was a seven-figure, and if it wasn't seven figures, it was $800,000. There was a machine that he was that was pouring money out of him, and the repugnant old white guys that ran the Ohio High School Athletic Association said he was suspended. And it was one of the most ridiculous things I'd ever seen. And I, thank goodness a judge threw it out. And it's one of the things that's aged ridiculously and is embarrassing. And by the way, the people in Ohio, where I'm from, still don't let high school kids make NIL. And I think that's repugnant too. So that's how I feel about it. Thank you for asking.
My pleasure. Thanks for coming on. And most importantly, you know that John Anderson did 7.5. That's what I'm most proud of this interview. Thanks, Brian.
I'm going to go say it on SportsCenter.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be watching. Next. Thanks.